Well, hello and welcome. It is good to be with you today, and it is an absolutely beautiful day that we have to meet together. I hope that your day, whatever day it is that you're watching this, is just as beautiful, both in terms of the fall weather that we're having, but also in your circumstances, also in your relationship, your fellowship with the Lord. But again, it is good to be with you. I look forward to these times of being together. They're a blessing for me, and I pray that they're a blessing to you. Once more, I want to thank Jonathan and Nikki for all that they do to help make these times possible. You see me, you don't see them, but without them, this wouldn't take place. So I'm so thankful for what they do. And just, again, just very thankful that we have this opportunity to be together. And it's the Lord who's given this to us. He wants us not only to be together, but to be together with Him. He wants to speak to us. He wants us to know Him. He wants us to grow in our walk, in our relationship with Him. And so let's take a moment and go to Him in prayer. Father, thank You so much for this day. Lord, this opportunity to meet with You. Father, we are so thankful, Lord, to know that You are the living and sovereign and true God, the God of mercy, the God of righteousness, the God of grace, the God of justice. Father, we praise You. We humble ourselves before You. And Father, we come seeking You. Lord, open our eyes as we open Your Word. Lord, let us see the truths that are there, the truths about You. Help us to know You, O God, in our mind, but also in our heart. And may our lives reflect that. And Father, may our eternity be based upon it. Father, speak to us, we pray, Lord, in Jesus' name, amen. Well, as we come together on this morning and this day, and again, it's an absolutely beautiful day, I want to ask you, are you thankful today? As we have this time, as we come, as we open God's Word, as you've gone through this day, have you in fact been thankful? Are you like David in Psalm 9, where he wrote in verses 1 and 2, I will give thanks to the Lord with all my heart. I will tell of all of Your wonders. I will be glad and exult in You. I will sing praise to Your name, O Most High. Is that you today? Now, I know we read that many times, it goes through our mind as well. I really wish I was. I wish I could be. I know I ought to be. But, you know, with so much going on, with what's taking place, say, in the Middle East, with Israel, the very real possibility of it spreading outside of Israel to being a regional conflict, the very real possibility of us being drawn in on some level, the possibility of it even becoming a global war. You think about also the possible connections when you go from Hamas to Hezbollah and to Iran to Russia, when you think of Syria and then Russia, and then you think of China possibly taking advantage of everybody's distraction someplace else. It's a very unsettled world that we're meeting in today. Far more so than it was even 2 or 3 weeks ago when we had our time together then. And it's very easy for us to look at that and think, you know, that in the midst of this, there's really no way I can give thanks. Or even not thinking about things international, just looking at our own nation. When we look at the societal breakdown of our nation, the moral pollution of our nation, and we see it reflected everywhere. We see it reflected in the church. So many of them have become apostate, drifted away from the faith. We certainly see it politically. The ongoing saga of the search for a Speaker of the House shows just how divided our nation is. It's not just that you have two main sides, but you have sides within sides of sides. Our nation is fragmenting. It's falling apart. You see it on the street level as well. And perhaps maybe in your own life. There are adversities, there are difficulties, there are heartaches, there are hardships you're going through. You know, whether you're personal, all the way up to international, global, we have so easy for us to be worn down, burdened, and distracted. And yet we read these verses and David's heart is overflowing with thanksgiving. But I know we read that and we think, well, you know, David wrote that because God had just done a wonderful act of deliverance for him. And that is certainly true. God had done a wonderful work of deliverance, as we read in verses 3 through 6. When my enemies turn back, they stumble and perish before you. For you have maintained my just cause. You have sat on the throne judging righteously. You have rebuked the nations. You have destroyed the wicked. You have blotted out their name forever and ever. The enemy has come to an end in perpetual ruins. And you have uprooted the cities. The very memory of them has perished. And so, yes, David is looking back. But what is amazing? Yes, David is giving thanks because of a deliverance that God has already given him. But we keep reading the psalm, and we find out that yes, though God has in fact done a wonderful work of deliverance for David, David is in the very midst of a very real problem still, even at this point. And yet in the present, David is in fact able to give thanks. Because for us, like David, certainly we can look back and we can see wonderful times that God worked and moved, and we need to always remember those times to give thanks. But so often we get to the present that has its problems, its adversities that as of right now we don't know how they're going to turn out, makes it difficult for us to give thanks. Well, in the present, David had problems. You think about what he said in verses 13 and 14. Be gracious to me, O Lord. See my affliction from those who hate me. You who lift me up from the gates of death, that I may tell of your praises, that in the gates of the daughter of Zion I may rejoice in your salvation. Look at verses 19 through 20. Arise, O Lord. Do not let man prevail. Let the nations be judged before you. Put them in fear, O Lord. Let the nations know that they are but men. Again, we read that wonderful thanksgiving that David had in verses 1 and 2, and our mind automatically thinks, well, yeah, he did, because God had just delivered him, which he had in verses 3 through 6. And yet, David is able to give thanks even in the midst of very real, difficult problems and adversities. And what a lesson for us. And as we think about whatever it is we're facing, and we certainly all see what we're facing globally, internationally, we see what we're facing nationally, and no doubt what you may be going through personally. In spite of all that, there are still reasons to give thanks to the Lord. And this is exactly what we see again in verses 7 through 10. For notice what it says. For the Lord abides forever. He has established his throne for judgment. He will judge the world in righteousness. He will execute judgment for the peoples with equity. The Lord also will be a stronghold for the oppressed, a stronghold in times of trouble. And those who know your name will put their trust in you, for you, O Lord, have not forsaken those who seek you. Why was David able to give thanks? Not only for, you know, a completed deliverance that God had given him, but even in the midst of a problem before a deliverance is experienced, what enabled David to give thanks? What should enable us to give thanks, even in the circumstances we find ourselves in today? Well, the first thing we see is the eternal nature of God. Look at the very first part of verse 7. But the Lord abides forever. And the idea there is not just God's eternal existence, the fact that God has always existed, exists now, and always will exist, but the fact that God's eternal existence means that he is unchanging in his nature. He is just as sovereign now as he was in eternity past, as he will be in eternity to come. He's just as omnipotent today as he was in eternity past, as he will be in eternity yet to come. God is completely unchanging in his nature. Just as God was in Genesis 1:1, he still is today. His eternal nature. God does not age, so to speak. He does not decline with the years. You know, I had a conversation, or I was in a conversation a few weeks ago, and also in the conversation were a couple of gentlemen, and neither one of them is old by any stretch of the imagination, but both of them have admitted as they grow through life. Both of them, in fact, as one of them used the expression, he said, and he had shared it with his son, I am not the man I once was. He made the comment, it's harder, you know, if he does projects around the house, what if he gets down on his knees, to get back up off of his knees. He talks about how he didn't have the stamina he once did for working hard, physical projects. They both commented on their hearing not being as sharp as it once was. They're not the man that they once were. Again, that was their own expression. I wouldn't say that about them, but they said that about themselves. Well, here's the simple truth. God is still the God he always was and always will be. You know, there was an actor that I always enjoyed his show when I was growing up, and you know, different parts of the show, they'd show him running or playing volleyball, or they would show him, you know, getting in and out of a sports car. Although up in years he still works, but from what I've read, even on the scenes when he just gets in and out of a car because his age shows doing that, they actually now have to have a stunt double to actually be the body that they film getting in and out of the car. You know, before, when he was younger, you had the stunt double to do all the fight scenes and the falling down and the jumping and all that. Now he has to have a stunt double just to cover for him not being able to get in and out of a car. God is not that way. God's unchanging, eternal nature. He is, still is, and always will be the God that he ever was. We can give thanks. Our God rules. He reigns. He's unlimited. He's perfect in every way. Nothing's been diminished whatsoever. But then notice what else we see. The righteous judgment of God. Look at the latter part of verse 7 through verse 8. He has established his throne for judgment, and he will judge the world in righteousness. He will execute judgment for the peoples with equity. Think of how much of what interferes with our ability to give thanks today finds its root back in sin. You know, whether it's crime or violence in the street, whether it's perpetrators who commit those things being released, the deliberate destruction of our nation from within, the lies, the fraud, the corruption that we see all around us that impacts our lives. You know, we see all that and it makes it very difficult to give thanks. And yet what we need to remember is that our God is a righteous God. He is a God of justice. And he's a God who does execute judgment. In his time and in his way, the perfect completion of his plan and the perfect demonstration of his righteousness. But none of these things that we see around us that are obviously wrong, none of those things are going to be allowed to get by without righteousness prevailing in all of them. And even though we see unrighteousness, we can still give thanks because the God of righteousness, the day is coming when he will make it right. And even if we don't see it today or tomorrow or next week or even in our lifetime, God will in fact make it right. We can rest in him. We can trust in him because of his righteous nature. But then notice what else we see. The refuge of God. Look at verse 9. The Lord also will be a stronghold for the oppressed. A stronghold in times of trouble. You know, even in these very difficult days, we can give thanks because we have a place of safety and refuge in our God. You think about what we see in Psalm 46 in verses 1 through 3. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth should change, though the mountains slip into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains quake at its swelling pride. You think about what we read in Psalm 32 and verse 7. You are my hiding place. You preserve me from trouble. You surround me with songs of deliverance. You know, someone many years ago put that to music, and I know it's been recorded two or three times by two or three different groups when I was in college, and we called it BSU at that time. It's called BCM now. You know, many times we would end our evening services by singing that song, You Are My Hiding Place. Child of God, we have a very real hiding place, a never-failing source of protection and refuge. And nothing can touch us unless it goes through him first. You think about the 23rd Psalm, the shepherd was always there with his flock. Our shepherd is always with us. Jesus picked up on that illustration in John 10. We talked about being the door to the sheepfold. In other words, anything coming to the sheep has to go through him first. That's not to say he doesn't allow adversity or difficulties, hardships. we're not trying to misquote it, but the fact is nothing can approach us unless it's gone through Him first, and nothing ever approaches us without Him being present with us. We have His wonderful refuge, and even in times like these, we can give thanks because our God is with us. He is our refuge. He is our very present help in time of trouble. But then notice lastly, the faithfulness of God. Look at verse 10. And those who know your name will put their trust in you. For you, O Lord, have not forsaken those who seek you. You think about the concept there of the name, who God is. God is faithful, simply in his character, from His heart out. You think about what we read in the book of Joshua, in Joshua 21, verses 43 through 45. You think about what we see here. So the Lord gave Israel all the land which He had sworn to give to their fathers, and they possessed it and lived in it. And the Lord gave them rest on every side, according to all that He had sworn to their fathers. And no one of their enemies stood before them, and the Lord gave all their enemies into their hand. And listen to verse 45 very carefully. Not one of the good promises which the Lord had made to the house of Israel failed. All came to pass. Did you hear that? Every promise that God made, He kept. Nothing has changed. We think about Revelation chapter 19, verse 11, talking about the second coming of our Lord. But you think about verse 11. And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. And He who sat on it called Faithful and True, and in His righteousness He judges and wages war. He's called Faithful and True. Faithful. And understand the significance of names in the Scriptures. It's a revealing of their character. This is a revealing of God's character. By His very character, He is in fact faithful. He is trustworthy. You can count on Him. You can depend upon Him. We have a God who's in fact faithful, and we can trust Him in all things. He will guide us, carry us, protect us, provide for us. All those promises that we find in His Scripture, just as with the promises that He gave to the children of Israel, Joshua, every single one of them He will in fact keep. We can trust Him. So yes, we're living in very confusing, concerning days. You can't help but wonder what's going to happen by the end of today, by the time we meet again next week, if the Lord hasn't come for us first. It's very easy for all these events, whether personal or global, or anything in between, to take away our ability of being thankful unto God. And yet our thankfulness is not found in our circumstances, but rather our God who rules over them. And He, in every way, is worthy of our thanks, and He's worthy of our trust. Let's go to Him in prayer. Father, O God, we thank You for being the God that You are. We praise You for being who You are. O Lord, as we live in these days, it's so easy for our minds and our hearts, O God, to be weighted down, burdened, worried, anxious, concerned. Added on top of that, whatever we're going through personally. But, O Lord God, turn our heart towards You to see You for who You are, rest in You, trust You, and yes, O God, to thank You. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, it's been good to be with you, with our Lord, our wonderful Lord whom we can trust in all times, even in times like these. And I hope as you go through today, whether it's personal problems or international problems or national problems, financial, economic, relational, spiritual, that you'll be able to rest in Him. And having rested in Him, that you'll be able to give thanks to Him. And I hope by that time of praise and worship that you'll have a great day in Him.